Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, creating bathrooms for daily rejuvenation. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, January 31st. I'm Abby Larico. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe gave his first State of the State address this week, and in that speech, he talked about restructuring the state's formula to fund public education.
That formula is 20 years old, and it is not doing what it was designed to do 20 years ago.
St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg and Jason Rosenbaum sat down with Governor Kehoe to discuss this and his other priorities for the state. Plus, St. Louis band Starwolf makes music inspired by synthwave and yacht rock. The trio's second album, Tropical Disco, features songs meant to take its audience to the stars.
The goal was to take the listeners on like a galactic disco journey adventure, and I think we accomplished that.
Jumping into the journey with Starwolf, and STLPR's Chad Davis is our guide. Those stories coming up after this news on The Gateway. Rumors that federal agents from U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement have been spotted across the St. Louis region are continuing to stir up fear and anxiety. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley has more from a demonstration Thursday.
Oliver Jurado is standing with dozens of immigration advocates in Woodson Terrace, protesting U.S. President Donald Trump's recent executive orders.
A lot of the people that I grew up with, and a lot of the people who watched me grow up, they're all at risk right now. Everyone in the community is scared. I think a lot of people just were not expecting for it to be this bad.
He says his family lost their grocery business 15 years ago because federal agents would profile black and brown people outside the store. He also says ICE has recently questioned some of his loved ones. Some leaders in the St. Louis region say ICE hasn't contacted them despite claims that their agents have been spotted and that people are being detained. Thousands of people have been detained across the country since Sunday. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The leader of the Missouri House says he sees no appetite in his chamber for legislation that would place bounties on people in the country without legal status. That means the bill is unlikely to pass the House. On Monday, a Senate committee spent hours hearing testimony against a pair of bills that would impose harsh penalties for immigration violations. Senate Bill 52 would include life imprisonment without parole as a punishment and would allow Missourians to collect $1,000 bounties for reporting people here without legal status. Speaker John Patterson says he doesn't expect to see similar legislation on the House side.
I have not heard any enthusiasm from our members about doing any sort of bounty on that. I don't think that's something that you're going to see on this side.
Patterson also says that immigration is already being addressed at the federal level. Missouri State University announced this week it's eliminating diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. Michelle Skaliski has more.
Missouri State President Biff Williams said in a letter sent campus-wide that it's getting rid of the Office of Inclusive Engagement. The Collaborative Diversity Conference and Inclusive Excellence Awards Gala are eliminated as university-supported events, and this year's events have been canceled. Williams said, quote, "The idea of and support for diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, is under considerable scrutiny on a national basis and closer to home in Missouri's state legislature," unquote. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe, in his State of the State address Tuesday, said he will not support diversity, equity, and inclusion programs within state government in his administration. Williams said, since 38% of the university's budget comes from the state, quote, "For us to continue providing a quality education to our students, we must align with the expectations established by state leadership." I'm Michelle Skaliski.
The Missouri Department of Natural Resources Division of State Parks has a new director, and she is the first woman in the role. Laura Hendrickson assumes the position immediately. Hendrickson has almost 30 years of experience in Missouri State Parks. She served as the interim division director since 2021. She has 17 years experience as a park superintendent. U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth says there are few things lawmakers could address to prevent future plane crashes after the mid-air collision in Washington, D.C. this week that killed more than 60 people. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports.
The Illinois Democrat chairs the Senate Subcommittee on Aviation Safety. She's also a former Army helicopter pilot. After the federal investigation to determine what exactly went wrong plays out, Duckworth says there could be a couple of things lawmakers consider. One could be checking to see if there are issues with equipment.
Whatever upgrades we need to continue to do with the air traffic control system and making sure that, in particular, air traffic controllers are, we have enough of them and that they have all everything that they need to do their jobs.
Duckworth also says she's expecting the investigation may focus on determining if either the plane or helicopter deviated from its flight path, or if the helicopter was flying too high. Until that concludes, she says the focus should be on the victims. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
New national data shows that some Missouri students are making up ground lost during the pandemic in mathematics, but not in reading. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports.
The National Center for Education Statistics released data this week, and the results confirm a troubling trend. Fourth and eighth grade students in Missouri are still struggling to read. The decline in Missouri follows a decade-long trend that escalated during the COVID-19 pandemic. On average, 42% of fourth graders and 35% of eighth graders struggle to read effectively. Courtney Bailey with St. Louis University's Prime Center says this data should be considered along with local and state trends.
So for parents, I urge you to get that individualized student level data about your own student, your own school, and make decisions based off of that.
There is a bright spot. Fourth grade students are performing better in math, but eighth grade students saw their math scores drop. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Low-income St. Louisans pay more to heat and cool their homes than wealthier residents. That's according to a new report. Energy is also disproportionately expensive for city residents, says Tori Cheatham, a co-author of the St. Louis Energy Burden Report.
People who are lower income live in poor housing stock, which means that their homes are less efficient. Efficiency is very important when it comes to utility bills.
Cheatham is the St. Louis director for Renew Missouri, which advocates for renewable energy in the state. The Sierra Club and Consumers Council of Missouri also contributed to the report. You can explore utility data from your neighborhood in a new tool. Find a link at stlpr.org. Critics of KDHX's leaders are suing to remove most of the community radio station's board of directors. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, the lawsuit is just the latest dispute between KDHX's board and former DJs and volunteers who are calling for new leadership.
Former DJs Stacey Bernard and Christopher Suarez filed the suit on behalf of themselves and 14 other station critics. The others are staying anonymous, they say, to avoid retribution by KDHX's leaders. The suit filed Wednesday in St. Louis Circuit Court asks the judge to remove 7 of the 8 board members. The member not named is Courtney Dowdle, a station critic who joined the board last year as part of a settlement that ended a different lawsuit. The board suspended her after her first meeting. The KDHX board has reshaped the station's programming in recent years, kicking many longtime DJs off the air. Station leaders say the DJ roster is now more diverse and better reflects St. Louis. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe delivered his first State of the State address Tuesday, increasing public safety, moving away from diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, and a reevaluation of the state's public education funding are just some of the priorities he talked about. On Wednesday, St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg and Jason Rosenbaum sat down with Kehoe to discuss his address. That includes why he believes it would be better for the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department to be under the control of a state-appointed board.
They're down 350 officers in St. Louis, and that's a real problem when you talk about solving crime. And I believe we need somebody who's more sensitive to what the men and ladies in blue need in the St. Louis region, and I think a state-controlled board can provide that.
What would the board do differently that can't be done now?
There's a lot of things that we can do to, we believe, help the department from a budget standpoint, from an appointment of getting more officers on board, and then just paying attention and prioritizing crime and getting crime under control in the St. Louis region. I think we can be helpful with that.
St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones and other city leaders have contended that this idea is a solution in search of a problem, pointing out recently that police officers in St. Louis have received significant salary increases and that in Kansas City, the state control model hasn't resulted in a reduction in crime. What would you say to that?
Well, two things. For one, I'll start with the second piece first. In Kansas City, they had a $41 million decrease in the police budget there. I don't care who's under control. When you have that big of a budget decrease, it's going to be a problem. And number two, in St. Louis, the barometer that I'm watching, the data that I'm watching, is will businesses feel safe enough for their employees and their customers to invest in St. Louis?
You mentioned during your speech that this administration will be built on merit and we will not support DEI programs in state government. DEI stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion. How would you define what a DEI program in state government is?
Well, sometimes DEI has created kind of a false sense of why somebody or our quotas on why somebody should be promoted or whatever, you know, different opportunities in state government. And as you heard me say, I started out the speech talking about the first female Senate pro tem of the Senate in Cindy O'Loughlin, the first Asian American and speaker in John Patterson, the first person born in St. Louis City raised by a single mother and me. We got here working hard on our own merit. And that's what I want, a level playing field for people who want to work hard no matter what their background is, no matter what their skin color is, no matter where they came from. If they work hard, we want to have the flexibility to be able to reward them, and that's what I want. That's the environment I'd like to see created in state government.
I spent a lot of time talking about this issue with former Department of Social Services Director Robert Nodell, and he mentioned to me there is value in teaching his DSS employees about communities they serve. Would banning DEI programs make it harder to do that specific type of training to state employees?
No, I don't think so. Huge Ukrainian communities in Springfield and Sedalia that I've talked to about this. You're right. We've got a great diverse state of people that we've welcomed to come into the state the appropriate way, the legal way, that are great, productive Americans and Missourians. And no, I don't believe that this will interfere with what they need to do.
During your speech, you said that you wanted to rewrite the state's foundation formula. How do you do this without setting off a hornet's nest of opposition between different types of school districts, as was the case in 2005?
Look, it's going to be a hornet's nest. That formula is 20 years old, and it is not doing what it was designed to do 20 years ago. The world has changed. The way we educate children has changed. Technology has changed. We learned a lot of things from COVID and what that does to the learning environment. There's multiple pieces to that puzzle that we need to fix to reward the schools that are really putting out a good product and then get the schools who are struggling to come up with a plan that we can help them with so they can get a better product than when those men and ladies come out of those schools.
That was St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg and Jason Rosenbaum with Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe. You can read more from that conversation at stlpr.org. St. Louis band Star Wolf has produced music that stands at the intersection of yacht rock and synthwave. They'll take that sound to the Duck Room Sunday, February 2nd, when opening for Australian musician Donny Benet. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, the band has transformed its old sound to something that's out of this world.
The band's vibes are like driving through a neon-lit cityscape. Take it from Tim Moore, the trio's percussionist.
I would say Star Wolf started off as a synth heavy, like 80s pop band. Driving through the night,
just trying to stay alive. That's Tiamo Stargazer, the self-titled track from its 2018 EP. It's why when marketing its latest album, they took promo pics chilling on a yacht that's heading into outer space. Moore says the sound is grounded in retro homage, but now a little more cosmic.
But we've morphed into more of a 70s jazz-infused, like, Galactic Disco. That's what we're going with.
Let's Get Down Tonight off of Star Wolf's second album, released last fall. You've got the synths, thumping bass, and electronic sounds that compose the band's old work, but it's now a little more ambitious. Max Sauer plays guitar, bass, and synths. even though the trio is trying to take listeners to the stars. He says the sound is still grounded in the music of this planet.
I was listening to a ton of different music from all around the world. I think most notably a lot of like 1970s Brazilian funk, a lot of bossa nova, a lot of this genre called exotica.
Sauer says work on the album started in 2020 when the band couldn't even work in the same space because of the coronavirus pandemic.
I essentially would start a song and I would map it out and make the structure for it and add the different elements to it and try to get it as far along as possible before I even sent it to the other two guys.
The first track Sauer sent to the band was Mooncastle.
The goal was to take the listeners on like a galactic disco journey adventure, and I think we accomplished that.
That's Chris Rhine, vocalist, guitarist, and bass player for the band.
I think we didn't respond right away, and Max was like...
Oh, that's right, yeah. He was like, oh, they hate it.
Oh, they hate it.
But it was the exact opposite.
The flutes and the bass lines and just the changes of the song, the strings, easily my favorite song on the record.
The seven-song album is largely instrumental. Sao Paulo flutist Paulo Oliveira, Spanish sitarist Mark Planos, and Italian keyboardist Marcello Casanelli collaborated on the album. And it also includes bassist Tim LaFave, a collaborator who's worked with the group before and played a major role on David Bowie's final album, Black Star. The music is clicked with fans too, especially on TikTok. Some of the videos have attracted hundreds of thousands of views, even a million for a video of themselves with filters to look old. They joke that they're a band from the 70s that never made it, and now they're finally putting out the album they've always wanted to. For Sauer, seeing the vision he cooked up 5 years ago has been otherworldly.
Combining that with our music, for me, was like a dream come true, and surprisingly, a lot of people are looking for that as well.
The trio will get to see that admiration Sunday night at the Duck Room. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Jessica Rogan edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Our theme music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur, but right now, more Star Wolf. Here's more Get Down Tonight. Because it's Friday and the last day of January. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a groovy weekend.